draw us after you. You who sit above the circle of the earth, you inhabit eternity. Your name is holy, holy. Alpha, Omega, beginning, the end, the first, the last. This is my beloved. This is my friend. He is altogether lovely. Rightly do I love him. Rightly do I trust him.
Hello, friends. We welcome you to this episode of Brenda Price Ministries podcast. We've been so glad for this opportunity to share with you all through these various avenues of media. We have been receiving testimonies about many of you being touched and encouraged and even going through deliverances while watching the videos or listening to the podcasts. The Word of God has the power to transform. And what an opportunity to get it out and out to so many through their MP3 players, their computers, their handheld devices, and so on. The gospel is getting out there, and we are so encouraged by your letters and testimonies. You can keep those coming. If you have not become connected with Brenda Price Ministries, you can find sermons by Evangelist Brenda Price on YouTube. Just put in the search box, go to youtube.com, put in the search box there, Brenda Price Ministries, and you'll see our channel come up. We are also on Facebook at facebook.com/Brenda Price Ministries. And the podcast you are presently listening to can be found on iTunes by searching for Brenda Price Ministries or on Podomatic at brendapriceministries.podomatic.com. All of these, of course, can be found at our website at brendapriceministries.weebly.com. That, again, is brendapriceministries.weebly.com. We are so excited about what God is doing, and today we are starting a new series, but before I tell you what it is, I have here Evangelist Brenda Price next to me to help us to get started. Evangelist, I wanted to begin this series by having you tell us what it is that we're jumping into and how this study came about for you.
Well, I want to start by saying thank you for taking the time out, to all our listeners for listening, and for the fact that this ministry has meant so much to you. So thank you, listeners. How this teaching came about, I could say started maybe 40 years ago with the birth of my first daughter, my oldest daughter, Rachel, who was born with cystic fibrosis and died at 21 years old after being married only a year or two and having a baby. And through that 21-year period of time, I had to get into the spirit realm in an unparalleled manner because her life was on the line and I needed to hear from God. So this caused me to get out the biggest shovels I could find and begin to move away the dirt out of my life and seek God like never before. And so
this made a big impact on your life.
Yes.
Because you also have another study called It Is Written.
Yes.
And that was, the Lord spoke to you through that right around the time of her death.
Yes.
It was actually
Two years before.
It was actually through him speaking to you about her death that came about. So this time of intense trial in your life,
mm-hmm.
Actually birthed a deeper relationship with the Lord. So while you went through these 21 years with your oldest daughter, it pushed you into the Word more, and it pushed you more into the Song of Solomon.
Yes, the Lord just began to edge me toward that, And I heard one particular ministry teaching on it, even back then. This has been over 30 years ago. And I bit into it immediately and began to study and pray and begin to take notes and write and get revelation. And, of course, now it's a very in vogue thing to do. Song of Solomon, you find it everywhere. But I had only heard one other person begin to delve into it in a way that really made sense to me. And then the Lord began to expound on that because of what I was going through. I needed it to get through. And everything else that's ever happened in my ministry since that time has been built on this foundation of the Song of Solomon. And I wrote the book called Leaning on Her Beloved. So that was, you know, the beginning of where I searched him out and came to the wonderful understanding of who the bridegroom is and how he plays a part in my life and how I extend myself into his person and his being and become one with him. And it answers all the questions.
And I like how you say it was a foundation for where God was taking you in the future. From the testimonies you have heard from people who have listened to this study or read the book, do they testify of the same thing?
Oh, absolutely. I have taught this class. It actually takes me a year to do the class properly. These podcasts will be longer than usual because I'm trying to just rush and get a few points in. But the people I have taught, their life was changed by this teaching because you can't go through the death of your child. You can't go through the everyday trial of trying to keep someone alive and going through all the questions, why God, without getting some answers. Because if you're really open to God, he's really wanting to talk and give you answers. And this laid a foundation for everything.
And that's the essence of the book that you wrote. Even the title, Leaning on Her Beloved, is actually taken from Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 5. Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? So the picture that's given there, as I've heard you say in the study, is when you're coming out of a time of suffering and you have learned to lean on Jesus as your main dependency. So this book took you years to get together.
Oh, without a doubt. I'm still getting more on it. I'm still getting revelation. I can't read it now without getting fresh revelation. The verse that you mentioned is pivotal to my life because at one point when my daughter was about 12 years old, I was doing my study and I got to that particular verse and the picture came to my mind of this vast desert. And her going through all the things that you would go through in a desert, dry, thirsty, lonely, intense, hot, extremes, hot, very cold at night on the desert, all the things that you would go through in a desert experience. And as you learn reading about Israel going through to the promised land, the point that you realize why you're in that desert is, you know, am I going to come out of this? Is this going to be something I go through, or am I going to die in the midst of this desert experience? So when I saw that picture in my mind of her actually coming out of the wilderness, but her statement was that she was leaning on her beloved as she came out of it. And I could just see the fact that she was weak, she was tired, she was worn. She had been through the most horrific time, and yet she leaned harder on him with her head on his chest. When I saw this, it actually knocked me out of the chair I was sitting in. The revelation was so intense, and I fell on the floor, crumbled in a heap, weeping and crying because of the revelation. One, I was going to come out of this, and two, it was only going to be by his grace, and three, he was not going to leave me to walk it out by myself.
You know, something else that strikes me about that verse is there are others asking, who is this leaning on her beloved? And it's like they didn't recognize her anymore. She had become a different person. Who is this who's mm-hmm. leaning on her beloved? So the person that you were before the wilderness experience, you have now changed to where they don't even recognize the old you. The Lord has done such a work in you that you come out looking more like him.
Wow, that's great, because when I went into this experience, I was unsure, I was unsteady, I was not real faithful in my prayers. I was not in a place where I could understand anything. It was dark. I was blind. I was stumbling. I was fearful, most of all. And when I came out and I came through it, I was opposite of all that. And people, a lot of times, they think, you know, they see someone like me or someone in leadership, and they think, wow, they don't go through anything. They're mm-hmm. just a pillar of right. strength. They're so secure. But, you know, I go back to the song, The Warrior is a Child. No, I'm still going through desert experiences, but I do it with the knowledge that I can only go through it and prevail and be jubilant mm-hmm. on the other side of it, because I'm leaning on him and not my own mm-hmm. understanding.
Well, there's only one way for gold and silver to be purified, and that is through the fire. And that's kind of the Song of Solomon, this book that you wrote, Leaning on Her Beloved. It's kind of encouragement in the fire, the purpose of the fire, but not only that, your deliverer who brings you through the fire and brings you into a purified state. So I know that we want to make this available to those who are listening to the podcast, that Leaning on Her Beloved, the study of the Song of Solomon, written by evangelist Brenda Price, it can be found at brendapriceministries.weebly.com/store. Or you can just go to our main page and click on the link that takes you to our store. You can get it in hard copy, but we've also made it available in a PDF format so that you can have it on your handheld devices. You can have it on your computer. Just grab it from your email, wherever you want. And you can find all of our products there at the brendapriceministries.weebly.com/store. Well, to start this series off, could we just take some time right here just to talk about the first few verses while we have this kind of question and answer time? The first few verses, I'm going to read them here. And would it be okay if you just elaborate on these before we get in to give us an introduction? Okay, the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's." And verse 2 says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." Could you give us a little bit of an introduction with those verses?
Yes, because the whole Song of Solomon hinges on these two verses in a way. Because if we don't learn to extend our prayer time in quantity and quality, which is really what we're talking about, is intimacy with the Lord, and get our focus back on the original intention of God when he created us, so that he can shift our hearts and our focus away from the world and put it back on our true obsession. Because in this life, you're going to be obsessed with something. Well, you were created to be obsessed with Jesus Christ, your lover, your bridegroom. And so the Song of Solomon starts with a statement about a song itself. And when you think about a song, and why music is so powerful, it's because music speaks to the emotion. And, you know, you could think of it in the realm of where were you when you first heard that song, or what part of your life you were in when that song came to the popularity point that it had reached in that part of your life. And it speaks to the emotion. You can take the words of a thought and put it in a song, and you're reaching not only the intellect, but you're also reaching the heart. So when Solomon himself, King Solomon, wrote this Song of Songs, it's all a love parallel between the bride and the bridegroom. And it's about a shepherdess, and it's about a shepherd and her love for him. And when he begins this verse, he says, the Song of Songs. So he's not talking about just any song. He's talking about the Cadillac of Cadillacs, the meal of all meals. He's talking about the greatest of all songs, the Song of Songs. Now, when you think about that in relation to what God has done in creation itself, you realize that the Song of All Songs is the song that was sung by the Son of God himself on the cross at Calvary. That song is, I paid the price so that you will no longer have to stand on the outside looking in, but now you're invited to be part of the family and then begin to become part of the bride. So he's saying here, what I'm going to write to you about is the Song of All Songs, the salvation of your soul, the intimacy of your soul with your Creator, which is the Song of All Songs. And it belongs to who? Solomon. The word Solomon means peace. And we all know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So he is a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ and his bride, wooing the bride out of the world, putting her attention on himself. And so the verse that follows that, immediately the bride, and there's three parties, and I do mention this in the first teaching, there are three parties that are seen in the Song of Solomon's. You've got the daughters of Jerusalem, which is those that are part of the cast, you might say, those that are the onlookers that are seeing this development between the bride and the bridegroom, and they're questioning her because they're seeing something in her they don't see in themselves or other Christians, and they're wanting to know, how did you get to where you are, and what is it that is so special about your bridegroom that's unlike any other, and why are you so obsessed with him? So she's looking toward the bridegroom, and she says, she's overcome with her attention on each part of his features, and she runs in with, this is her speaking, kiss me, let him kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, for your love is better than wine. Wine speaks of intoxication, and she's saying, this is better than the intoxication of the world. It's better than getting the best job. It's better than having the best marriage. It's greater than all of these. And so she says, I want those kisses. Now, those kisses, there's three that I dwell on, but I'm sure that you can find more kisses that he gives you in your spirit life. But one of them is the kiss of revelation, where his revealed word comes to you, and you read the Bible, or you're in prayer, and he speaks to you, and all of a sudden it comes alive. That is actually a kiss from the bridegroom that is revealing himself to you through the word, through prayer. Then there's a kiss, the first kiss we ever receive from him is the kiss of forgiveness, when he says, I forgive you. When you come to the cross and you say, Lord, take my life, forgive me of all my sins, and I want to be yours from this day on. I want you as my eternal focus. So forgiveness is a very key element. Without that, you can't go any further. And then the third kiss that I dwell on a little bit is the kiss of affection. When you feel fulfilled with him, when he comes in and you're in your prayer time or you're in the word and you just feel the master standing there, you feel his pride bursting over you, and he's giving you that affection. The emptiness leaves, the fear leaves, and you feel whole. That's a kiss of affection. And so that's where we're going next, is into these first two verses. I taught this class some years back. It's not a new teaching, but I've taught it for over 30 years. And this one just happened to be caught, bits and pieces of it. And we take this study practically verse by verse, with just few exceptions. I might have not gotten every single verse, but primarily this is a teaching verse by verse, and we're starting with 1 and 2.
So the Song of Solomon, a very intimate book from the Bible, and we're going to be delving into that for these next few podcasts. So we hope that you join us in the next one. So the podcast following will be moving into more depth in Song of Solomon chapter 1. Hope you'll join us then. We thank you for joining us today on Brenda Price Ministries podcast. And again, if you'd like to visit us at our website, or if you would like to contact us to share your testimony of how these teachings have touched your life or revolutionized your Christian walk, you can do that at brendapriceministries.weebly.com. That again is brendapriceministries.weebly.com. We thank you so much. God bless you till we're with you again.
Amen.